From Illinois Public Media News, this is 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. It's Monday, July 29th. Coming up, we'll learn about how Sean Grayson continued to work at police departments in Central Illinois in a joint investigation between IPM News and the Invisible Institute. That story in just a few minutes, but first, these headlines. Police are looking for the person who shot and killed two teenagers from Champaign over the weekend. Two others were also wounded. It happened late Saturday night in the 2000 block of Cynthia Drive in Champaign. An 18-year-old male and an 18-year-old female from Champaign died at the hospital from gunshot wounds. The Champaign County coroner identified the victims, George Doris Rogers and Denijah Staple. A 25-year-old woman and 15-year-old male were also treated for non-life-threatening gunshot wounds. Police do not have a suspect or motive in this violence at this time, but they say the investigation remains ongoing. Medicare recipients are now eligible to receive services at the University of Illinois' Audiology and Speech-Language Pathology Clinic. IPM's Anuliko Uchuba has more.
Among other things, the clinic provides audiological assessments and treatment for various communication disorders. Rebel Lohanna is the clinic manager. She says they received the certification to accept Medicare last month.
We can now serve a broader segment of our population, particularly the elderly and those with disabilities, ensuring that everyone has access to the medical care they need.
Lohanna says students in the teaching clinic will also benefit from the change. They will learn more by interacting with a wider variety of patients with different medical conditions. I'm Anuliko Uchuba, IPM News.
County officials in Springfield on Friday released the autopsy report of Sonia Massey, who was fatally shot by a sheriff's deputy earlier this month. Mawa Iqbal reports.
The autopsy report shows that 36-year-old Massey died from a gunshot wound under her left eye. She was shot by then-Sheriff's Deputy Sean Grayson. Massey was pronounced dead just an hour after she had called 911 to her home for help. Attorney Ben Crump represents the family.
The autopsy confirms what everybody already knew on the video, that this was just a senseless, unnecessary, excessive use of force.
According to the report, Massey had traces of gabapentin in her system. It's a medication used to treat seizures and nerve pain. I'm Mawa Iqbal.
Some people in the Illinois hemp industry want to work with Republicans to regulate their industry instead of eliminating it. Alex Stegman reports.
Democrats are split on whether hemp-derived products that mimic marijuana should be banned. Charles Wu leads the Illinois Hemp Business Association.
We're not, you know, a bunch of gas station dealers trying to poison children.
So he's trying to convince Illinois Republicans that regulation, not elimination, is the way to go.
Our estimates of an economic impact is $1.5 billion to the state over the next 4 years. So this is on par with what cannabis can offer.
A wide-ranging measure to effectively ban hemp products stalled before state lawmakers adjourned for the summer. It could come up again when they come back in November. I'm Alex Stegman.
There's a new testing requirement for some cattle participating in livestock events in Illinois this summer. Jess Savage has more.
The Illinois Department of Agriculture has added a testing requirement for lactating dairy cattle participating in livestock exhibitions. It's to minimize the spread of H5N1. That's the highly pathogenic avian influenza. 12 states have confirmed cases. In Illinois, this step is being taken out of an abundance of caution. Testing requirements apply to lactating dairy cattle at county fairs and next month's Illinois State Fair. A negative test result must be documented within 7 days of the cow's arrival at the exhibition. Illinois is home to more than 600 dairy farms with 73,000 cows or calves. I'm Jess Savage.
Still to come, we'll learn about how Sean Grayson continued to work at police departments in Central Illinois in a joint investigation between IPM News and the Invisible Institute. That story is coming up next on 217 Today.
From Carbondale to Chicago, the 21st Show takes you across Illinois to bring you the latest news, politics, and culture from every part of our state. I'm Brian Mackey, inviting you to join the conversation by leaving us a voicemail at 217-300-2121 or find other ways to connect on our website, 21stshow.org. Then join us every weekday on the 21st Show.
You're listening to 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. The shooting death of Sonia Massey by a now former Sangamon County Sheriff's deputy has prompted a statement from the president, a Department of Justice investigation, and nationwide outrage. But as Farah Anderson reports for IPM News and the Invisible Institute, this wasn't the first issue former Deputy Sean Grayson has had. A note to our listeners, this story contains the sounds of gunshots.
In the early morning hours of July 6th, Sonia Massey called the sheriff's department. She thought there was a prowler outside of her home. Sean Grayson was one of the two deputies to respond shortly after 1 a.m. After looking around outside, the two enter Massey's home about 10 minutes later to get her identification. What you're about to hear is from the second officer's body camera. Grayson's camera was not turned on. As she fumbled through her bag looking for her driver's license, Grayson pointed out a pot of boiling water she had left on the stove.
Away from your hot steaming water.
Massey turns off the burner and takes the pot over to the sink. Then, in a quiet voice, she rebukes Grayson in the name of Jesus. At this point, he grabs his gun. It's hard to see, but Massey ducks under the counter separating them. Grayson is now pointing his gun at Massey and moving around the counter to where she is.
19 shots fired!
Drop the pot!
An autopsy revealed the bullet that killed her went through her face under her left eye. After the shooting, Sean Grayson was fired from the Sangamon County Sheriff's Office and charged with first-degree murder, aggravated battery with a firearm, and official misconduct. He pleaded not guilty. But before all this, Grayson was a soldier in the U.S. Army stationed at Fort Riley in Kansas. After 2 years, military records show he was discharged for serious misconduct, but no one is quite sure what that misconduct was. Grayson then joined the Pawnee Police Department as a part-time officer. From there, he went to the Kincaid Police Department, but left after less than a year after refusing to live within the 10-mile radius the village required. Mike Lawrence, a member of Kincaid's Board of Trustees, says he didn't have a good feeling about Grayson.
I thought he was a loose cannon. The way he came off, very arrogant, cocky.
He got a job in Verdon, but also left less than a year after he started. Then he got his first full-time position at the Auburn Police Department in 2021. Less than a year later, he joined the Logan County Sheriff's Office. According to his application, he started having issues with alcohol when he was in the military. In an email sent to the sheriff after he was hired, Grayson explained he received his first DUI in 2015 when he was 21, while on leave following his grandfather's death. He got a second one a year later, after he was pulled over while driving himself and a friend home from a bar. The first sign of trouble in his job came just a few months later. While on patrol, Grayson initiated a high-speed chase with a woman he says crouched down in the driver's seat after seeing him and allegedly rolling a stop sign. The chase allegedly reached speeds over 110 miles per hour before ending when Grayson struck a deer. In an interview about the chase, Logan County Chief Deputy Nathan Miller told Grayson he was also aware of the issues with arrests he had made while at previous departments, including his accuracy and honesty in writing reports.
7 months on, how are you still employed by us?
I don't know.
Sean, do you understand what I am saying?
Yes, I do, sir.
Miller continued to drill Grayson on how his bad policing led the state's attorney to drop many cases he was involved in.
A good state's attorney protects bad case law. And I don't want you to take offense to this. They dropped your cases because of what I'm looking at right here.
But this wasn't Grayson's only issue at Logan County. At least two other people complained. In one case, a woman wrote that while she was being processed, she told deputies she had inserted drugs inside herself. She claimed Grayson instructed her to remove them in front of him and another male deputy, which he later admitted to. She alleged a female officer stopped her, and they took her to a nearby hospital so a doctor could remove the drugs. While she was exposed, she says Grayson pulled back the curtain and saw her before a doctor intervened. There's no records of how her complaint was investigated, but Grayson received training for best practices. Amy Thompson is a lawyer with Chicago-based Impact for Equity, which focuses on police accountability. She says that kind of behavior should have been thoroughly investigated and submitted to the state's police misconduct database, as required by state law.
That's abhorrent, and that's not the kind of conduct that we want in our law enforcement officers in the state. And the fact that there doesn't appear to be a thorough investigation, there doesn't appear to be any flags that were raised with the state is very concerning.
Logan County Sheriff Mark Lander said Grayson was not under investigation when he resigned from the department and declined to comment further.
The reality is what happened to Sonia Massey should not happen. That should not be an acceptable outcome in our state. And we need to make sure that whatever law enforcement standards are in place and accountability measures are in place for when those standards are breached are strong enough to prevent something like this from happening.
Civil rights attorney Ben Crump is representing Massey's family. He's also represented many high-profile cases of police brutality, from Trayvon Martin to Breonna Taylor to George Floyd. The news of Grayson's military discharge was not known to him, but in an interview with IPM, he said his misconduct in the military and at the other departments should have stopped his policing career.
Well, when you look at the video, coupled with the fact that he's had six different agencies in the last 4 years, it raises all kinds of red flags. So we're not surprised by this. What we don't know is why he had a job at the Sheriff's Department in the first place.
In a statement, Sangamon County Sheriff's Office spokesperson Jeff Wilhite said their office was not provided any such information from any of Grayson's former employers, nor from any crediting agency. The Invisible Institute is still waiting on requests for more of Sean Grayson's misconduct records from his previous jobs. Reporting for IPM News and the Invisible Institute, I'm Farrah Anderson.
This story was produced in partnership with the nonprofit Newsroom's Invisible Institute and the Investigative Reporting Workshop. It was also co-reported by Sam Stecklow. And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says today will be partly cloudy with showers and thunderstorms likely and a high of 85 degrees. That's it for today. 2 and 7 Today is produced by Stephanie Mosqueda. Reporting today contributed by Anuligo Ochuba, Mawa Iqbal, Alex Degman, Jess Savage, and Farrah Anderson. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Kimberly Schofield. 2 and 7 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.